All right, so we're going to start from Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Verse 19, it says, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." And so, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for showing us these things in this book that we call Romans. And Lord, we pray that you would please open up our understanding of this book. Help us to see also, Lord, how you have revealed yourself to us in your creation, and even in and through us as your new creation. Lord, we all struggle with things, and we're all barraged by the world and its satanic influence, its diversions, its distractions. And Lord, we ask that you would please strengthen our faith. Give us boldness even, God, to continue to preach your word of truth. Share through our lives, God. Help us to go on display. You said, Jesus, let your light shine. Help us to let our light shine in the workplace, in our families, in our communities, wherever you have us. And especially here, God, encourage and equip us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. Maybe you've heard. I'm going to display this here on the display. Oh, JP, are you able to click through? Sorry. I'm going to read this here, but perhaps you've heard of this Pew Research Center study that those who identify as, quote, atheist, they're more likely than Christians in the United States to say they often feel a sense of wonder about the universe. They feel a sense of wonder about the universe. And I put down here in the bullets, 81% of those who profess to be atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe. And 54% of atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe at least once a week. At least once a week. Think about this. So that's, of course, the source I put here is Pew Research Center. They did a study in 2014. It's called the Religious Landscape Study. So why is it that atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe? As you and I go through this study today, I want you and I to discover why it is that these so-called atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe. But first of all, we have a problem. Notice this as we go back to the text that we opened with. Look at this in Romans 1 verse 18. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," it says, "who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Our problem that we have today with many folks is they suppress something. What is it they suppress? Truth. They suppress the truth. So we're going to get into the context of what this is speaking of. So we have a problem here, is that people are suppressing the truth. This is a major problem that we have with many people today, especially those who claim to be, quote, atheist. And really, let me just cut to the chase here. You really can't say you're an atheist. Why? Because you would have had to exhaust every possible lead, because an atheist is basically saying, with that stance, I know there is no existence of a God. And you cannot say that. What's your proof text, Drew? Of the many in the Bible, this is one of them in Romans chapter 1. I love even in the Psalms. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Okay? So, think about that. It's very foolish. So, the problem, that's a major problem today, is that those who choose to believe not in a God, they suppress the truth. This is Romans chapter 1. So, they hold back the truth of God's existence. Now, let me say to this for you and I, as Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Christians, it is not your burden of proof to have to prove the existence of God. We said this earlier in our servants' meeting. You do not have the burden of proof. Don't let anybody tell you that you have to prove that God exists. They have the burden of proof to prove that God does not exist. Good luck. You can't. They can't prove that God does not exist. And we're going to get into this a little bit today. This word for manifest here, as well as the word for, quote, shown, is the same word, and it means, quote, to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. And it says, quote, for God has shown it to them. God has shown this. God has revealed himself to all people. Now, you know this, especially us here in the church. We have accepted, we have not rejected, the fact of the existence of God. And yet we're still barraged by messages and throughout the media. God's going to continue to prove himself. Also, this does speak in what is called the active sense of the fact that God is saying here that he has actively shown it. God actively has shown it. Past tense. God actively has shown himself to exist to who? To all people. It is not your burden to prove that God exists. Anybody ever have an atheist tell you that? Prove to me that God exists. Is that any of you? I remember even my sister, my flesh and blood sister. Oh, Lord, please open up her heart and her understanding. When I was younger, I would try to preach the gospel message to her. And I was zealous, but so just on fire, but not equipped of knowing what to say. Prove to me that God exists. How can I? We're sitting at a table, and she would say something silly like, if God exists, tell him to make that salt shaker move. I'm like, oh, give me a break. Does that happen with any of you? Am I the only one? It is not your burden to prove these things. In a court of law, there is called a burden of proof. Who has the burden to prove that God exists? Not you. Because God has revealed it to each person. They, the person that claims to be an atheist, they have the burden to prove that God does not exist. However, they can't. They don't have to prove it to you. It's between them and God. God has, past tense, God has already revealed it. What are they doing? They are suppressing the truth. They're holding back the truth. But why would people suppress the truth of God's existence? Because you and I know, if we believe in the existence of God, it means, therefore, I'm now accountable to this God because he created me. You know this. It's just sheer logic. And if I admit that God exists, I'm also admitting he's my creator, and I'm not an accident. I'm not a mistake. No matter what mom and dad may have said, they may not have planned you, but God planned you. Amen? You're not a mistake. You are not an accident. And because of that, because of the fact that God exists, and also if I believe the Bible is God's word, therefore, I must obey what he says. So what happens? People don't want the truth. They don't want the accountability, so they suppress the truth. They hold back the truth. Why? If I say these two things, God exists, and second, the Bible is God's word, now I must obey what he says, and I must be accountable to him. So what happens? People don't want accountability. So they just choose to say, I'm an atheist. No, they're not. They're a liar. Please understand this. Well, Pastor Drew called you a liar. No, the Bible says it. Even in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have not sinned, like, oh, I've never sinned, I'm a good person, God actually says they're calling God what? A liar, right? That's 1 John chapter 1. So God exists. The Bible is God's word of truth. And we must be people that embrace truth and not reject truth. Why would people suppress the truth of God's existence? Here's how the logic flows. I have it here on the display. Somewhat of how the logic flows. If God exists, then God created me and I'm accountable to God. And if the Bible is God's word, then I am forced to obey what he says. Therefore, a person who rejects accountability in this life calls himself an atheist, but what are they doing? They're suppressing the truth. They know it. Now, how many of you, this side of getting saved, you know it, but you were lying to yourself and others? That was me. Was that any of you guys? You call yourself an atheist, or that wasn't that many of you guys? Me and my wife are the only ones? This is like a couple of you. Anybody else? Okay? Steve, others? So that was me, and the reality was I was just lying to myself and to others. I didn't want to give in because that means I'm going to have to do what you say. And we all kind of know that, right? So why would people suppress the truth and claim to be an atheist? This is a person who wants to live their own life. They want to do whatever they want instead of admit truth, embrace truth, and to live it. Okay, the reality and the conclusion, there are really no atheists. Atheists who is someone who basically says they know there's no God. Here's my question for the atheist. And I can say this in bold now because I know who I was. I was a liar then. Saying that, nah, I don't believe in God. That was me for a while. I would tell myself, even my younger self, prove to me God doesn't exist. And then guess what happens to that friendship, that conversation? Whoosh, I'm going to bounce. I got to go. Because why? Because an atheist cannot prove God does not exist. Again, you do not have the burden to prove that God exists. An atheist has the burden to prove that God does not exist. Have at it. They're going to die, and after death, guarantee you, 100% of every human being believes in a God. Amen? Believes in a God. So there are no real atheists. They're just people who, well, they receive the truth, or they lie and suppress the truth. That's it. That's the reality. That's the conclusion. So the curious person may ask, how is it that God has shown himself to me? Okay, look in your Bibles, verse 20, I have it here on the display. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We'll come back to that word. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, what? Without excuse. Without excuse. So you, Christian, you Bible-believing gal or guy, you go on the offensive, my encouragement. I'm not saying to offend people. God's word will offend if people want to suppress the truth. I'm saying you be emboldened with God's word of truth. This is one of those verses that God equips you with. I want you to have courage in God and God's word that you can go on the offensive and tell the so-called atheist, who's really a liar, disguising themselves, saying, oh, I identify as an atheist. Why? I want to suppress the truth, basically. So what is this saying? That the things that God has made, his invisible attributes, the fact that God exists, he has already revealed it to people. But they haven't read the Bible before. But they've never had someone preach salvation through Jesus Christ. This is not talking about the gospel message. This is speaking of the existence of God, the fact that God exists. Romans chapter 1, and specifically and particularly verse 20, equips you in what we call apologetics so that you and I would know that the person in whatever tribe, wherever they are around the world, whatever era they live in, they could just explore nature and conclude, this cannot have evolved this way. There is no way. And by the way, I wanted to point this out here in this verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. This word for made, you probably heard me preach on this before. It's the word poema. Literally, it's the word poem or poetry. It's also used, it's only used in a couple places in the Bible, but it's also used here, also quoted in Ephesians 2, verse 10, you see on the slide or display. For we are his workmanship. We're his poema. We're his poem. It's the exact same word. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this word poema is the word poem. God's creation is God's poem. God's creation, think of poem, think of poetry. It's an expression. The artist wants to express himself or herself. And sometimes we do that through painting. Sometimes a poet, even with rap today, you've got all sorts of poetry, music. It's poem put to music. It's an expression of the artist. God creates, and that's his poem, his poema, his creation. So God has revealed his existence to all people through what? Through his poem, through his poetry, through his creation. It's his expression of who he is. You do not have the burden to prove that God exists. All someone has to do is observe nature. And God has already been preaching it to them. Even before they knew you existed, in their heart, they know God exists, but some want to suppress the truth. Some want to receive the truth. So in the first case of this verse here, Romans 1 verse 20, God's creation, his poema, it proves that God exists. The second usage here of this word, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, his new creation. You, the born again Christian, there ain't nothing like a born again Christian who's walking in the way that God created her or him to be. So when God creates, or God gives you as his new creation, he's going to preach to the world that he exists. This is why you can go through stuff in your life, and when others see how you handle things through the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, the love of God through Jesus Christ, there ain't nothing like that. It is foreign to this world. And when people see God's poema, his poem, his creative expression through you, that's a wonderful and beautiful and glorious thing, isn't it? Whether you observe nature or someone observes the new creation in Christ, don't discount that. Please don't. Because these are ways, according to this word and the usage of this verse in Romans 1, that God has revealed that he exists. What else can you say to answer for the fact of who we were prior to coming to Christ and now who I am? I mean, I was a potty mouth person, DJing in nightclubs and just a life full of filth, bad, everything. Think about that. And then God came into my life. I got saved through Jesus Christ, and he totally changed and transformed me from the inside out. I have memories of knowing who I was, but that is so radically different from who I am now. I even told my wife again, if you would have known me back then, honey, no way, you would want nothing to do with me. And if I would have known you, I used to think this was a joke. I would know Christians, and as a party promoter, I would try to invite them out on Saturday nights, get them to stay out late. Look at my son's looking at me. That's who I used to be. I would have them stay out late. Why? Because I would think it's a joke. Have them stay out late, get them drunk, and I'll, ha-ha, see you at church. Right. That's how I was. I'm not glorifying the flesh. Because when I came to salvation through Jesus Christ and he changed me, I remember those bitter tears I had. Like, why didn't you just kill me? I can't believe I was probably used by the devil, working for the devil, to pull at least hundreds, if not thousands, of kids away from the Lord. And I remember the very first time I believed, hearing from him, I remember being in a hotel. We'd rent out a big hotel ballroom, like a Hilton. You rent out the ballroom, the biggest place. Invite kids, make flyers, and we were promoting parties. And I remember I was getting ready to spin a record, and looking at the, you know, the people dancing with the lights and all, about to throw a record in, and it was as if the Lord was speaking to my heart, what are you doing? You're leading them the wrong way. And, you know, remember those old records, it's kind of, you just stop it. And that's kind of what happened with my heart. I knew right away what he was meaning. Repent. You can't be doing this. Lead him toward me. I'm like, ugh, what am I doing with my life? And that was so long ago. But how do you answer for how someone outside of this realm can change and transform the heart? You can't. There are no answers for that. It's not a program. It was a person. It was Jesus, Messiah, my Savior for my sins, my Lord of my life. He came in and he did a radical cleansing and a healing within me. And many of you guys know that. Who here have had that? That radical transformation from inside. That's because you are his poem, his poema, his creative expression, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God is proving his existence as you observe creation, and also proving his existence as people observe his child, the born-again Christian. Satan doesn't want you to know that. Backslidden Christians don't want you to know that. Your flesh certainly don't want you to know that. Because your flesh is like, uh-oh, we're doing good. Let's keep the party on. Let's keep doing as we're doing now. Don't change a thing. Because in order for you to continue to be moved from grace to grace, for God to heal you, God to keep moving you towards what he's wanting to transform you into, like it says here in Ephesians 2:10, you and your flesh, your self-will, your goals, your dreams, your desires must die constantly. Any of you know that? It's a daily thing, right? You got to keep preaching to your flesh. You die. You dead, right? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm buried with him in baptism. Risen with him also. So God's creation, his poema, proves that he exists. The universe is God's poetry. The universe is God's method to prove that he exists. You do not have the burden to prove that God exists. The person that calls himself atheist, they have the burden to prove God does not exist. And because they have no excuse, no reason or method to tell you how the universe came about, what does the world say of how the universe came about? There was a what at the beginning? A Big Bang. Great, show me a picture. Were you there? No. They can't show you a picture. Therefore, evolution is the world's biggest hoax of many, but it's the world's biggest hoax. It takes faith. Therefore, evolution is what? It's a religion. It takes faith. So the evolutionist, who's an atheist, they do have a religion. Guess who is their God? Self, who is one and the same as worshiping Satan. They believe in a God. They are their own God. And after physical death, they're going to be held eternally accountable. So the universe is God's poetry, and it testifies to God as its creator. This is why as I looked at earlier, the 54% of so-called atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe. Why? God is preaching to their hearts. 54% of so-called atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe at least weekly. Why? It's not because of you. It's because of the creator, the author of the universe, God himself, El Shaddai, God Almighty, who created the universe. He is preaching to their hearts. And they're sitting there fighting against what they learned maybe in school growing up, that they came from a monkey or primordial ooze or pond scum. All these falsities, they are suppressing the truth according to what God says. And they're calling God a liar. And the reality is they're believing in a lie. So God proves his existence to you and I as we observe his creation. And God proves his existence to the world as the world observes you, the born-again Christian. Allow yourself to continue to surrender to the working of God's Spirit, that he can continue to shape and mold you into what he wants, more and more like Jesus Christ. And the world can't answer for that. There is no answer. And it's not your burden to prove that God exists. Here's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19. This is a good one. Please know where this is in the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. This is the reason why so-called atheists feel a sense of wonder about the universe, because this is just one place in the Bible. Psalm 19 beautifully illustrates it, how David wrote this. All you got to do is observe the sun. And there, beautiful how he mentions there's a circuit. Now, how did David know that? Was NASA around back then? No. He knew because God is showing him. So God reveals himself in his creation. And even someone like David writes about the sun. Look at this in verse 6. And there's nothing hidden from its heat. So back to verse 20 here. Romans 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's the word again, poema. Poem. Poetry. So people that are suppressing the truth, they explore and observe nature, and they suppress the fact that God is preaching to their hearts saying, look at what I made. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't this glorious? There's so much more that I want to show you. They're like, nope. There was a big bang somewhere. And they're giving glory, not to the Creator, but to their own religion, which requires way more faith than I have. Way more faith than we have. I would just rather believe that God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1. So God revealed that he exists as we observe, quote, the things that are made. And I'm going to share with you a little bit. You can go to NASA's website. I pulled this. You guys probably heard of the Hubble telescope and other telescopes they have. So think about our universe, and we put it in these terms, a galaxy. What is a galaxy? A huge collection of gas, dust, and billions of stars and their solar systems. So think of one galaxy. One galaxy is this. Billions of stars. There's planets too. We might call them planets. How many galaxies are there? So in the mid-1990s, scientists estimated the observable universe contained about 200 billion galaxies. My source? NASA. Now, 6 years ago, or in 2016, NASA stated this, quote, new research shows that this estimate is at least 10 times too low. So you take 200 billion and you multiply it by 10, and guess what number you get? 2 trillion. So this is the state of our current technology in 2022, according to NASA and those that know and study these things. There's at least 2 trillion galaxies that exist. That's for our observable galaxies. So which galaxy are we in? The one that's called the Milky Way galaxy. But each galaxy has supposedly billions of stars and planets. But according to John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world, the words cosmos, all of his creation, that he gave his only begotten Son, And who was that? Jesus, the one we call Messiah. And he gave him over for what? To be the sacrifice, to die on a cross for your sins and mine. He left heaven and he was birthed into this planet, this one we call Earth. He came to this galaxy, and this is our number that we know of now. What we might estimate in English, 2 trillion. As science gets better and better, and we can see with better, more powerful telescopes, I'm sure this number will change and even increase. Of what we call galaxies. Only one galaxy can have billions of stars. And we're in this only one, this one galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. And God had his heart, so to speak, upon this one planet in this Milky Way galaxy called Earth. And Jesus left heaven, put on a body of flesh, came to this galaxy of what we call, in our estimation today, 2 trillion galaxies. It came to this one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, came to this one planet, and he became only one species, Homo sapien, human being. And he died for his own creation. He didn't become a monkey. He didn't go to another galaxy. He didn't go to another planet. This is also how you can dispute with the Bible, even with science, how they're going to find life out there. So we looked at 54% of atheists wonder about this universe at least once a week. Why? Because there's no way to answer it as to how can we evolve to be how we are now. Because the more that we know about things like human DNA, the more that we study things, we realize there was a programmer behind the code that we call DNA. We break into these things that we call DNA, we know that they are very precise. It's basically like a computer program. These things are put into order. By the way, you ladies that put on makeup, okay? Cosmetology, cosmetics. The word for order is cosmeo. I'm gonna get, okay, don't throw anything at me. The word cosmeo is to put in order. It's interesting that that's the word, the root word behind what we call cosmetics, cosmetology, to put things in order. It's interesting to note, in physics, there's this law, it's called the second law of thermodynamics. Anybody ever hear of that? Second law of thermodynamics. An easy way to state it is basically this. Everything moves from a state of order to chaos. Even the ladies that put on makeup. You put on makeup, you start crying like, oh, I'm going to mess up my makeup. So everything gets put in order and then it goes to disorder. You make your bed and room in the morning and then it gets messy later. Everything goes from order to chaos. It's a simple way to look at the second law of thermodynamics. It's also seen by heat. If I were to take a jug of water, or the coffee pot, and you heat that up to 180 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you turn off the heat source, what will happen to that pot of coffee?
Evaporation.
What would happen to it in terms of heat? It'll get cold. So we know that. Now how do you know? Does that happen every time? Yes. So everything will move in its heat. It'll go from a hot to a cold environment. Everything moves from order to chaos. It's a simple way to look at it. So the atheist works against the laws of physics when they state that everything came from nothing and there was a big bang and it moved from chaos to order. Impossible. They're disproving the laws of physics. It's like the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be foolish. So God is proving that he exists as we observe what he has made. And from our observable science right now, we would state, according to NASA, there's about 2 trillion galaxies. Each galaxy contains billions of stars and planets. I mean, how can you count that? Just think, if you just took a number for the sake of conversation, say it's 5 billion. Let's say the Milky Way galaxy, the galaxy we exist in right now, has about 5 billion stars and planets. And you multiply 5 billion times 2 trillion galaxies, I don't even know what number that would be. That's astronomical, as we would say. And what is the chance, then, that life would exist here on planet Earth? So as mankind observes our universe, we realize that planet Earth contains all the proper variables that are necessary for life. You guys already know this, but there are just a few that we have that we just know there's no way that this could possibly come about. Oxygen is one. And you know, when people try to study and look for life on other planets, life outside even our solar system, our galaxy, one of the first components they're going to look for are things like what? Oxygen, water, too. What is water, by the way, chemically? H2O. So if they could find oxygen, the O in H2O, if they could find oxygen, then there's the possibility of life. So our atmosphere contains oxygen, without which we wouldn't be able to exist. So when you're studying oxygen, think about this too. There's this thing, this system, if you want to call it that, where the earth replenishes its oxygen. We as humans, animals as well, we take in oxygen, and what do we exhale? Everybody do that. Breathe in. Breathe out. What do we just release into the atmosphere? Carbon dioxide. And there's plants, along with the sun, that takes the carbon dioxide through the sun with the water. And what does that plant with the sun and the water produce?
Oxygen.
What do you call that process, that system? God is awesome. I like that. Photosynthesis. So photosynthesis. So humans, animals, we use up the oxygen. We exhale carbon dioxide. So what came first then? Evolutionist, atheist. These things work together. Did the sun come first? Did the oxygen come first? Did the plants and the animals and people come first? Because they work together as a system. Think about water. The earth contains water, which is mandatory for life. This is why one of the first things that Elon Musk and others, as they go and explore, they want to look for what? On a planet or a star or an asteroid? Water. Look, we found the. There could have been water here. Big deal. It's still a big barren rock. Right? Does it have oxygen in its atmosphere? Does it have plants? Is it close enough to a heat source like the sun? So that photosynthesis can make oxygen and sustainable life possible. So the sun. We're the correct distance away from the sun. If we were a little closer to the sun, what would happen? We'd burn up. If we're too far away, if we're further away from the sun, what would happen? We would freeze. How about how the earth spins on its axis every how long? We know this because we just did something today. We call it daylight savings time. We're trying to play tricks with time. We're just trying to go, in our science, we're trying to go against what God created in the rotation of the earth. Every 24 hours, the earth spins on its axis. What if the earth did not spin? I'm not saying the earth just suddenly stopped, and then people are like, oh, we all fly away. Wouldn't that be kind of weird? Good thing we don't have a God that's like that. Oh, yeah? You don't listen to me? Let's put it back in rotation now, or let's spin you the opposite way. You're like, whoa. So, what if the earth did not spin? It would either stay day or stay night. Okay. Now, a long time ago, many of us thought that the earth was at the center and that the sun, because you would be able to stand in one spot and you go, ooh, the sun comes up, it goes, you know, this way and it goes that way. And then every, what we call 24 hours, it would do that. But we've learned, even from science, because we can get outside of our own planet now and observe, we've learned that the sun does not rotate around us. We're not at the center. What does the earth do in relation to the sun? So we orbit around the sun. How many, or how long does it take for one orbit around the sun? 365 days, roughly. That's what we call a year. So we spin, the earth spins on its axis every 24 hours. There's like an exact calculation, which I don't know. And we orbit or go around the sun about every 365 days. But what if the earth did not spin on its axis? Many people, no one believed that it would therefore make life impossible on planet Earth as well. So the sun would take 365 days to traverse through its course throughout the skies. You could sit there at 12 noon, high noon as we call it, where the sun should be above us. Every 24 hours it goes around right now. But it would take about 365 days. So what happens to that side of planet Earth? It gets too cold to sustain what? Life. So then what happens? Then one side of the planet will unfreeze. The other side, you know, think about that. These things working in conjunction with each other, it's just crazy to think of. So David wrote about the sun, again, in Psalm 19, verse 6. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Brilliant. Now, he didn't even explore the other side of the planet. Not yet. Maybe as we come back with Christ in the second coming, we'll be able to see these things. All right. So you and I, as we observe God's creation, just understand, guys, as we look at this, I don't want this to be like a science class. Although I like this kind of stuff. I love this. Any of you guys love this kind of stuff? I love this. When you actually merge science, so to speak, with the Bible, we come to realize modern science that we have is catching up with the Bible. God already wrote these things. It's like, we just got to believe him. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. We just got to understand. So God has revealed himself. Look at these things in verse 20, Romans 1, verse 20 again. We're going to close and do communion. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, dear Christian, be equipped and know that the person that calls themselves an atheist, have grace with them because that was me. That was probably you. But they are without excuse. They have the burden to prove God does not exist, and yet they can't. God says here, and you need to be equipped with this, they're without excuse. God has revealed his existence to them through what he has made. And there's so many things we could look at. You could look at DNA, and we're watching this documentary, and we haven't even gone through it. It's just amazing to see what we now know just about the human body. There's so many things about the human body. The eyeball. You supposedly see in your brain, not through your eyeball. Your eyeball's a camera. It's still the best camera ever made. Canon and all these companies can't make a camera like God makes a simple eyeball. Brilliant. Think about that. So many things about the human body. And yet we simply need to believe that God exists and ask him for the faith and boldness to share these things with others. So you, as God's new creation, if you're a born-again Christian, if you believe that you're a sinner, that Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sins, as the Bible records, rose from the grave, as the Bible records, and he ascended into heaven, he lives forevermore, he's watching us now, he simply wants us to believe what he says in his word and preach this to the world. Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand, please. I'm going to close. But understand also, not just in his creation, God's new creation. The born-again Christian, God is preaching to the world that he exists. allow him to use your heart and life. Allow him to change and transform you from inside out. And if there's anybody that needs to talk about that, that wants prayer maybe to receive Jesus as your Savior, love to talk with you afterwards. You can come up and we can talk. Let me go ahead and close us now with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for how you show you do exist. Lord, as we study these things and what we call our universe, Lord, forgive us. You know the exact number of galaxies. And we thank you don't just squash us like a bug. That our estimation is there's 2 trillion galaxies. As of 2016, this is only 6 years, Lord. Recent knowledge, that's only as far as our technology has come. The estimation is there's about 2 trillion galaxies. And we estimate that there's billions of stars and planets within only one galaxy. Lord, forgive us. Help us simply, as you say in Proverbs 3, to trust in you with all of our own hearts, not lean on our own understanding, and all our ways to acknowledge you. You'll guide, you'll direct our path, Lord. Help us simply to trust you in what you say. We thank you that you reveal yourself through creation, that there was not Mother Nature, it's just Father God, that you created all things. You created us for your good pleasure. All things exist because you willed it to be. We exist right now. You say in your word, even in Ephesians 2, verse 10 that we looked at, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Help us to walk these things out, Lord. Help us and use our lives, God, that we would become your poetry by simply surrendering to the work of your Spirit. That we would become that which you've called each and every one of us to be. Your calling for our lives, whatever that is, Lord. Help us to stop fighting against you. And Lord, we ask that you would equip us that we can simply love the atheist. Love the person that is suppressing the truth, that denies you. Help us to love them, God. Use our lives as testimony to prove to them, even through our lives, as you transform us, that you do exist, and it's you at work within us. We know there's no answer to that, God, except for you at work. So please continue to do that radical work, that transformation within us. We'll continue to honor and praise and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.